Blog Talk Radio.
Is a computer buffering?
There we go. People, it's your man Beach Bum Gun live on the off-rim, April 22nd, 2021. We are back on a regular schedule, time and place again. I apologize for last week. I know Friday was a slow show. I know it was just a night where I just got to rap to people. It was cool just rapping to people for a couple hours. Well, I mean, just rapping to the audience for a couple hours and not really having a bunch of calls. But we are back, same time, same place, same channel. Hope wherever you're at, the weather's good, you're feeling good, you're having a good, good vibes around you. If not, hope you get them pretty soon. Off-ramp is a show where we get together with my folks, talk about the day's mathematics. It's going to be a lot to talk about tonight. Hope the show isn't too down. But lots happened this past week. There's a lot has transpired since we spoke to the group. The phone lines are on fire. Got my man M Extra Money, my man Blur already waiting. We're gonna get to everybody soon. I will say when these type of shows happen, everybody just be conscious of not talking over people. Let's make sure that we can all hear everybody. Let's have a good conversation tonight. If you want to call in 929-477-3975, I hope not to be sniffing on your ear, but I'm so confused about my allergies. It's been cold as hell today. Shout out to Blur. The man had a snowstorm yesterday. It ain't that cold where I'm at in South Virginia, but it's cold today, and for some reason I feel like my allergies are acting crazy. But without further ado, we're going to start the show off. We're going to have a good talk tonight. DJ C. Siren, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight there? My mic fell.
Oh, no.
Man down. Cold 11:30. Mic in distress. I guess I shouldn't have poured that yak so early. Let me get this fixed. I hope that's not all in your ear making all that noise. Let's try that again. DJ C. Siren, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight there, young lady?
Doing all right.
So you got the White Claws popping, feeling good, ready to have a good show tonight. Got the Pineapple White Claw, feeling real randy.
Pineapple, yes. Rough day.
Yeah, work sucks. And shout out to all the healthcare workers out there. If Tupac cares, if nobody else cares?
Yeah.
That's how I feel. Got my man M Extra Money on the line. Man, is the computer buffer? Why is it not letting you talk? M Extra, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there you go. M Extra, welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight, my brother?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Can't complain, man.
You sound a little low. I might need you to speak up just a little bit more. That's how it goes. You're just low. I'm gonna see how it sounds.
Am I still low?
No, that's better. That's a lot better. Blur, okay. Welcome to the off-ramp. How you doing tonight, brother?
What's good, my people? I'm feeling great, man. Blessed and highly favored. You know what I mean? Feeling real good out here.
Hey, you sound real staticky. Hang up and try to call back in. Your line sounds like it's full of the COVID vaccine.
I'm going to ask him extra because I was hearing that. I thought that was coming from you. So you only hearing it from my end?
Yeah, I'll hear it from you. Is it M Extra? Am I static here on your end?
Nah, he's static. He's static.
Yeah, it's just you, Blur. Hang up and call back in. I keep telling you about not using condoms. See what happens to your phone line? All right, Blur, hang up and call back in, man, so we get a clean line. Got my man Hove. Hove in the building. Welcome to the offering, my brother. How you doing tonight?
Hey, what's good, family? How you doing, bro?
Can't complain. Sounds like you partying back there, man.
Nah, I'm out at basketball training, so it's windy, so I'll be on mute most of the time.
All right, cool. Yeah. Because it's kind of wild back there. But I appreciate you joining. Like I said, yeah, throw us on mute. But if you want to jump in, just hop in since I know you got a lot of background noise, and I'll make sure I try to acquiesce to your situation because I know you got the kids out there and a lot going on. Let's see if we get Blur back in here. Oh, why say it like that? I'm getting Kentucky influence. Blur, you back?
Yeah, I'm sounding, man. My mic now nice and clear?
Yeah, that's better, man. I keep telling you about buying them cheap Chinese phones, man. Stop Asian hate.
Hey, man, all they right, gave us the Kung Flu. It's the best I could do.
All right, let's get right to it, man. Let's get right to it. So, M Extra. This is you thrive in this, man. I know you really enjoy these topics. You're one of the most passionate people I know. You and Blur, y'all really love this space. So, M Extra, I'm gonna give you the floor first. Which one do you want to talk about? You want to talk about shaving McLavin, or you want to talk about the Ohio shooting? I know both you want to rap about.
But I'm I guess we can start with Chauvin and then pivot if we want.
Okay, so we'll start with Chauvin. So Chauvin.
Oh no!
Uh oh, somebody died.
Oh no!
You gotta talk quick.
Shaq Chi just died.
Damn! From Humpty?
Yes.
How he die?
I don't know.
He might. That might be April Fool's joke.
No, they just know.
Okay, DJ C-Side is gonna go cry, but. All right, so we'll talk. We'll find out more about Shaq. As you get more information, DJ C-Time or Shaq G, let us know. Rest in peace if that's true. I hope you're not getting fooled by the internet. But that is a shame. But, all right, quick pivot, no easy way to do it. So back to Chauvin. Chauvin found guilty all three charges. Was it justified, M Extra? Was it the correct verdict?
I think it was the correct verdict. I think it was a slam dunk case. I think the prosecution did a very good job painting the picture of it not being about black versus the police, but black versus the Chauvin guy as an individual. Because I think that in most cases, it seems like, you know, people want to make it about us against the police when it's really about us against bad police. So we're not saying that all cops are bad. We're just saying that there are some bad cops that need to be, you know, held accountable for their actions or lack thereof, actually. So I think it was the right decision. I think that, you know, honestly, I had mixed feelings because it's like, well, on one hand, you know, you saw justice being served, and then on the other hand, it seemed like, damn, like we have to have video, we have to have cops turn, you know, because usually you don't see a lot of cops on the stand outing a fellow officer about their actions and actually, you know, condemning their actions. And this is the time we actually had that police chiefs and other officers that actually condemned his actions and saying that it wasn't proper use of force and proper use of what their training is. And so it's me, I was kind of had mixed emotions just because of we needed a whole lot more evidence than your traditional or our traditional white counterparts on lesser charges if that was the opposite reverse when there's a black person being, you know, being the defendant in the case where they're, you know, so it just, you know, that kind of gave me some mixed emotions, you know what I mean, just because, like, damn, we need video, we need cops turning on there, but just for us to get a conviction. And that is kind of, so I'm glad that there's precedent set. So hopefully that they can use these kind of that case for other cases in the future where we don't need all that. But, you know, we have one that they can kind of go back and say, like, look, this is the same kind of situation, you know, finding guilty to. But, again, I think that, you know, it still just highlights a very disparity between the criminal justice system and the way that people are found guilty and not guilty in our society. And I think that, you know, I'll just end on, it's not over. Obviously, they just had another killing like 15 minutes from where that court case was doing it. And, you know, we just need to lobby our Congress and our Senate to pass that George Floyd Justice and Policing Act, because I think, you know, if you look at throughout our history, while a lot of states were moving and they were still, we have a lot of states passing laws and policing and trying to reform police systems. But if you look at everything that happened from African-American plight, it always happened at the federal level, right? When we look at the Civil Rights Act, when we look at the Voting Rights Act, everything kind of, when it really changed happened, it happened on a federal level. While the states were still moving, but real change actually happens at a federal level because it trumps what the state's doing. And so I think that, you know, we still need to fight to get them senators, or whether we kill the filibuster or move 10 senators to pass that, because the House has already passed, so it's just basically sitting in the Senate. To make sure that we get real reform in policing in our society. So I'll end on that and let other people else talk.
Blur, what you got?
A lot of what MX said at the beginning, I'm really agreeing with. It's mixed feelings, I guess, to say about the Chauvin thing. Not so much that I feel like, yeah, we have to have all this video evidence and stuff just to get a, I guess, what most people consider a fair or a pretty cut and dry conviction. Because you look back at what happened with the girl who shot homeboy in his own crib in Dallas, she got convicted. I mean, I'm a little concerned with this one because I know, like, people I've talked to, Gunn, you've heard Minivan talk about, yo, this is, they just used him as a scapegoat. They sacrificed Chauvin so that they could say, hey, the system is working, and pacify people to not, I mean, to think the system has really changed. And meanwhile, I mean, the same shit going on, and it's going to go on without any consequences for police. I don't think that to be true per se, but like directly with the Chauvin conviction, and I got to double check. I haven't actually sat down and looked at what the other three cops are charged with as of yet, exactly what their charges are. But if we're saying, hey, Chauvin, this George Floyd died as a direct result of what you did and nothing else, then it seems like we're giving the other three cops a way out, like a get-out-of-jail-free card. Like, we just said, it was on him. Nothing else mattered except for what he did. Now, I could be oversimplifying it, but, I mean, I didn't see the video, the whole video, until the trial started. I never watched it. And then you hear, like, all these scientists and all these doctor witnesses talk about, hey, you know, you guys had him pinned on the ground so he couldn't even open up his chest to breathe, and you had his neck pinched. Well, if George Floyd was on his neck, what about the dude who was on his back so he couldn't even, like, turn and get a breath so his chest couldn't expand? He need to have the same sentence. But if we're saying, hey, it was just on George, Chauvin, if it was just on Chauvin, then you other guys is off the hook. And, so I'm kind of disappointed like that. I really do believe that we can't take too much satisfaction, I'll say that, out of this conviction, because, yeah, I mean, again, just like the prosecutor was saying, like, yo, just look at use your eyes. It wasn't a hard thing to sell. I do think the defense lawyer did as good a job as possible trying to sell reasonable doubt and trying to put things out there, and I actually think he probably did a good job. I saw an interview today with one of the reserve jurors who got dismissed, who didn't take part in the decision but was sent through the whole thing. She said, she's like, hey, because she lived, in the area, I guess. She said, hey, I was scared. I was concerned that, hey, if they didn't come back with this conviction, that it might be a problem. So I'm wondering if that's how she felt as a reserve juror, if other jurors felt the same way. And even I hope that, I'm glad to see Dude got convicted on all three. I hope it wasn't because, hey, we just want to get this out the way so the city don't burn anymore. Like, I'm all for, let the system play out and let real justice be served. But if that man is only going to jail for probably the rest of his life because y'all was scared about riots and looting, that ain't fair. I mean, he killed somebody, so he should be going to jail, but let's put him in jail for the right reason. And let's put everybody who had anything to do with it in jail for the right reason.
Hove.
What's good, B? What's the question?
What did you think about the Chauvin verdict? You got any comments on it?
Nah, I ain't really got nothing to add from what Blair and MX said. I'm good on it.
Okay. New York, New York. Welcome to the show. Glad to have you as always, my brother. You got anything for the show, Verdict?
Oh, no. I'm going to use this opportunity as a learning one. Let me sit back on this one.
All right, so my view on the verdict is, see, I disagree with you, Blair. Yeah, I think the defense. Now, mind you, I wasn't watching it like you were watching. I know you and Fed Dude were watching it, you know, pretty much the whole step of the way. I would jump in and out just depending on work schedule. But once the defense tried to say, "Hey, yo, it could have been carbon monoxide poisoning because you had his face in there near the car muffler," I'm like, yo, his defense don't fool with him at all, yo. Cause, and I gave that example of on Facebook, just a quick little jab, because I was waiting for the verdict, but MX just shouted text to the group chat and was like, yo, the verdict coming in within the hour. I was like, all right, well, let me just see. I believe it's going to go guilty all three ways. I didn't think he had a chance of getting off, but I wanted to see it. But my son had stuff to do. We had practice to get to, and I'm like, yo, I'm not skipping his practice to wait for this verdict. So we ended up leaving, and then I just threw a quick blurb out there, just in the Facebook world, just to give how I view life. If I punch you in the face and you fall and your head hits a rock and you die, my punch didn't kill you. Your head hitting the rock killed you, but they're still going to charge me with murder. So once his defense said, yeah, his knee was on his neck for a while, and he had his face by the muffler, but it was really him inhaling the exhaust and getting carbon monoxide. That's what really killed him. I knew he didn't have a shot because no one's going to say, you know what, that's true. Maybe there – look, I say this all the time, and it's probably – I'm one of the nicest people in the world, but I say this all the time. There's a lot of dumb people out here. So maybe there are some people who will say, oh, yo, you know what? That is true. He was sucking in a lot of carbon monoxide, and that might have been the one that killed him, instead of looking just like what the prosecutor said. Just look at your eyes. You saw what happened. You literally saw what happened. But I guess, you know, the concern is we saw what happened with Rodney King, and they got off. You know what I'm saying? So different day, different time. Video means a whole lot more now. But I'm just concerned. Okay, just to further the discussion, I am now wondering. So, like Blair said, Chauvin might have been the sacrificial lamb, right? Do we now have more instances where cops don't turn on their body cams just because they know if they do, they can be charged? Because, again, it looks like just the video, like the video is what's going to do the cops in, not word of mouth, not evidence. Oh, well, that is the only evidence. Like, there's nothing that's going to convict a cop unless you have irrefutable video evidence. So the safest thing for a cop to do when he's in a situation is not turn on his body camera. So do we have – so, MX, do you think that this now will make cops not turn on the video cameras, their body cameras? MX, you got us on mute?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I was on mute. I don't think that's going to be there. What I think that – what I would hope that is going to be the case is that cops are, because of this, not going to be afraid to actually check their partner, right, and have a real conversation around, you know what I mean, like how they approach, like, you know, situations. That's what I would hope that would happen. And I think with the body cameras, we know if they didn't turn them on right away, right? So therefore, that's why we should have policies in there when they don't get turn them on, that should be an automatic either suspension or something that holds them accountable for not doing that. I think that's where the whole law is being passed in terms of the use of body cameras and whether they get used or not in situations. I think it should be an all-time thing. So I don't think it's that situation. I think if anything, it should highlight that you'll see more cops doing what these cops did in Minnesota. That's what my hope would be. Now, does that translate?
I'm not asking for your hope.
I can see what you're saying. I just don't think that it will do that, though. I don't think it would lead that. I think it'll be more transparency than less.
Man, I don't. Just human nature. I got these dudes protecting their own ass. But I respect your opinion.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. Oh. I'm going to make sure that whatever I do is going to be like up and up, then I'm going to turn my camera on so you can see exactly what I seen, right? So you can see exactly what I did, and you don't have that suspicion of, well, you didn't turn your body camera on until you got outside the car 5 minutes later. No, I'm going to turn that drone on. You're going to see exactly how I interact with this person. You're going to see exactly what my actions are, and I'm going to make it very clear. So if I get caught up in something, you got all my footage, right, that I can go off of. I would see that as the reverse, right, where it's not like, you know, like if I didn't, then because that's going to raise a lot more suspicion and suspect about if I did something wrong than me not having that body camera. Because you see how fast they released the body camera for the 15-year-old that got shot. Like, I think that's what's going to be the trend, is that as soon as something happens, they're going to try to get that video out there as soon as possible, right, just to stop people or just give people like a pause, like, yo, get all your facts before you jump on social media and start killing us or start, you know what I mean, dragging us through the mud.
Blur, what you got? I disagree, I'm actually, but I got to get everybody else in here. But I'll come back.
No,
to
I think there are.
Blur, what you got?
There are already laws in place that require cops to keep their body cameras on at certain times. In some places where the cops don't even have the option of cutting their body cameras off or on, it's remotely triggered. So yeah, I think it is going to be, if it's not already in most places, and I know, I mean, jurisdictions will vary, but in most places, I think that, hey, if something happens and you don't have your body camera on, it's going to be repercussions to it, whether loss of job, loss of pension, especially if you kill somebody and you don't have your body camera on. I mean, that's the same, even if you don't get found guilty, which I can't believe in a criminal trial, which I can't believe you wouldn't. I mean, not having that video evidence is probably just as bad as having video evidence that you did something wrong. I think not having any video evidence showing that you did something right, I think it's going to turn out to be, especially in the climate we're in now, it's going to, hey, so you have the technology to record what you're doing and you chose not to. I think that's a worse look. So I think they'll be doing more harm than that. And for places where it is, where you do have repercussions for not doing that, I believe it's probably going to end up in a charge. I mean, even if you don't kill somebody, I think if you do something where someone has any type of contradiction or has any type of complaint against the police and you didn't have your body camera on, I could definitely see that being some type of repercussion within the police force or just some type of charge from the city or state, wherever you at.
Man, I disagree with y'all 100%. Hope, do you want to jump in here?
So the question was, if we think that it'll limit the amount of cops that turn on their body cameras, is that the overall question?
So I'm saying that because Chauvin, now that police see that their body cam footage will be used against them in the court of law, that cops now will forget to turn on their body cameras when they think they're going to approach a wild situation.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you good. My bad. It just sounds like you're torturing kids in the background.
Oh, nah. They out there training, B. Out there getting that work. But I was saying, I think it'll actually have more cops turn it on, because I think honestly, the way the laws are set now, even though like Chauvin was ruled guilty, I mean, but his was over and beyond. You know what I mean? I think most cops will turn their body cameras on because I think the law right now protects them for the most part. You know, like when they go above and beyond, like he was on his neck for 9 minutes and however many seconds, like that's above and beyond. I would say most cops aren't doing that, but the law protects them from what they do. You know what I mean? Like if we look at Ohio and what's going on with the young lady that was shot, like his video is going to protect him. Where if he didn't have a video, like the stories would have been like the stories was wild before they posted that video. Like I was reading stories like, oh, shorty called the cops, dude just came out busting shots. Like it sounded like it wasn't even the cops that rolled up. So I think more cops will continue to use their body cam to protect them because the laws protect them. There's very little that a cop can do wrong in the name of the law. So most of them are going to use the body cameras until, like MX said, the laws change. And, you know, they don't get the same protections and immunities, and there's things that cops are held accountable for above and beyond what the law says right now. So I don't think it's going to deter cops from using their body cams.
I disagree. Ah, man, I disagree. I can't believe all y'all think like this. It's rare that we, like, I'm on one side and all y'all on the other side. New York, you want to jump in on this?
Look, you might have to reiterate the question to me. I don't forgot it.
So I'm asking, now that Chauvin has been convicted, right, the video basically, the prosecution was just like, yo, just look at the video. You can tell he killed this man, right? Do you think now that cops will start not turning on their body cam if they have that option? Because the only thing that really gets cops convicted now is video evidence.
That's a good question. I would say it would make somebody definitely keep the body cam. I don't know about turning it off. I mean, unless you really just don't give a fuck and you just out here just turning your body camera on, planting drugs on people, doing this, that, and third. And yeah, you going to turn that body camera on. But I think that camera like is there like for the police officers too, in a sense. So I think.
Yeah, see, I didn't think about it the way Hov, MX, and Blur were saying. So I agree. The cops, the laws there to protect the cops, right? They have that not diplomatic immunity. They're not part of DipSec. But they got that, what's that immunity called that they're working on? They got whatever that immunity is that helps them.
Qualified immunity.
Qualified immunity, there you go. So my point is that I just want y'all to think about this, because all y'all against me. I disagree with y'all, all y'all against me, but I just want y'all to think about it this way and just let me know what your view is on my opinion, right? So it looks like to me, so if all the cases that's happened, probably I guess in the last 4 years since, you know, Trayvon Martin, since this really popped off, even though there wasn't any video of Trayvon Martin. The only thing that's really gotten cops convicted is video evidence, right? I know it's not 100%. I know that lady who shot that dude in Dallas, there wasn't video of it, but there was video aftermath. But I'm just saying, like, the only thing that really gets cops convicted is video evidence, right? Anytime it's just my word versus theirs, there's not really a whole bunch of witnesses. The cop usually gets the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they get suspended from work. Maybe they're not a cop anymore, but they rarely go to jail. Like Chauvin's ready to go to jail for the rest of his life, right? That doesn't usually happen. The reason why I say more cops will not turn on their body cam is because if they record something that they're 100% wrong in, like there's now a precedent of sending cops to jail for the rest of their life. Whereas if something crazy happens,
but it's the cop word versus the dead person's word. I feel like, yeah, the cop might get fired. He might lose his pension, but he ain't going to go to jail for 30 years. So
see,
I
this is what I think you're missing,
more...
though.
Jump in. Go ahead. We talking. What's up? Let's go.
No, it's not even just the cop's body cam. It's other, like, let's take a look. Chauvin's body camera got knocked off. His own body camera didn't record anything. It was underneath the truck. So his body camera ain't had nothing useful. So he could have very well cut his off. But
okay, you can't stop other people from filming. So I'm not.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, so you cutting off your own body camera ain't really going to have that big of an impact if it's 16 niggas around with cell phones out. Or just streetlight cameras or ATM cameras. Cameras are everywhere. So cutting your one camera off is going to look, it's going to do more harm than good, I think, in most cases.
Not, I don't believe that, because with this case of this kid in Virginia, this army dude in Virginia who got arrested, the reason why it looks so bad is because that one cop was wilding, and you can hear him on his own body camera. They got the footage, and that happened late night out by me in Southeast Virginia. They got the one other view camera from the gas station, which shows the cop wilding, but you can't hear nothing they saying. You can't tell if the dude is resisting arrest or not. The only thing that damned that one cop in Windsor that got fired was his own body cam. So,
well, I think the other cop had body camera on too.
Right. So,
both of them, like, so you and your partner gonna cut it off? Which is possible if you ride with your partner, then y'all in agreement.
In that situation. And again, I don't think the cop should. I just wonder if it's human nature of just surviving. I just wonder if cops say, hey, if they get a call, shots fired at this block, and you're like, yo, we got to go out there. We got to get home tonight. I don't know if something might happen. I might accidentally cut my camera off and just deal with the consequences of something go down. If something don't go down, then I don't get in trouble. Nobody knows. No harm, no foul. But if something does go down, it's a little shaky. I got to put a bullet in somebody. You know what I mean? Like, if even that body camera that killed that kid in Chicago, like, that kid threw a Mac-11 over the fence. That cop was literally chasing somebody with a Mac-11, and that kid turned around and put his hands up, and he shot that kid. And it's a shame. Look, I'm not going to get over here and say it's a shame. He shot an unarmed kid, but that kid had a Mac-11 2 seconds ago. And toss it over the fence. Like, if his body camera didn't catch that, then, you know, he's safe. But his own body camera caught the still shot of that kid having his hands up with no gun in his hand. It's 2:30 in the morning. A 13-year-old's running around with a Mac-11. Like, he probably scared of shit, too. So I don't know why a cop, if the only way for him to get convicted is video evidence, would turn on his camera. Like, I get it. What y'all saying is true. There might be repercussions, but I don't think the repercussions is jail. So I don't know why anybody approaching a shaky situation would voluntarily turn it on. Now, if it's that automatic stuff that Blair was talking about and you ain't got a choice, then okay, cool. But I don't know why a cop would voluntarily record themselves when that's probably the only thing that can get them convicted.
So ultimately, I do think it may come down to what are the repercussions. Like, let's just go back to Chauvin. Like, his highest thing was a second-degree murder or a second-degree unintentional murder, which is like you intended to do something unlawful that caused the bodily harm or the death of somebody. So if taking off your body camera is considered unlawful and you kill somebody with it off, you may have just convicted yourself to second-degree murder because you did something unlawful while killing somebody.
See, you know more about the law than I am, but I got them saying, hey, the evidence doesn't show that I killed this man. Yeah, it was a shaky situation. Oh, yeah, I turned my body camera off. You want to get me for insubordination and I found directions, that's a year suspension. Cool. You can't say, take the Chauvin case. You take the video out. You be like, yo, he was resisting arrest. I just had him on the ground while I handcuffed him. Like, nobody got that 9 minutes. You take that video out, you don't have that 9 minutes where we hear him saying, I can't breathe. I think Chauvin gets off. And by history, he probably gets off because you can't really prove that he tried to kill somebody.
Well, I don't think he tried to kill him either way. But, yeah, I mean, obviously video is the big difference. That's like people have always been saying, like, police brutality and old police isn't new. It's just being recorded now. But, again, if it's not yourself, if it's not your body cam footage, it's footage from somewhere else. So if you want to, if you can guarantee ain't no footage anywhere else, then, yeah, I'm pretty sure cops was doing that at first when they first started doing body cameras. Like back in the day when they used to cover up their badge numbers, they just cover up the body cam footage while they're swinging. Oh, man, my arm just happened to be in front of the camera while I was beating this dude over the head. Like, that ain't new, except for now, it don't do nothing because you got cameras everywhere else. And if police, like I know I have in some jurisdictions, where it is a problem for you to not have your body camera on, you probably just will do yourself more harm than good.
Okay. MX, you want to jump back in or you good?
Nah, I mean, I think I'm good. I think you have a case, and you know, but I don't think it's just going to happen though. I hear your point, but I just don't think that's what their mentality is going to be though.
Because I guess my problem is, look at all the cops that we know, right? Even one that's in group chat with us, I'm actually. Their response to the Chauvin verdict isn't, yo, I'm glad he got convicted, he was wrong. It's, I can't wait to retire because they're affecting the way I can police now. Like, the police response to the things that are going on aren't good. We're finally cleaning up our departments. There's a bunch of bad police officers in there. Because let's be honest, the people who become police officers, they're not the cool kids in your class all the time. I mean, there are exceptions. I know a couple of real dope police officers. But they're people who don't really know what they want to do, and they need a good job. And being a police officer, you get a pension and all that stuff. You know, they do the whole salute service. So these people look at you as like heroes and all that stuff. But it's not like, I don't want to be disrespectful. It's not like the top of the class, the top of any class, chooses to be a police officer. So you're not dealing with the most intelligent people in the world. It's a good job. It's a service job. It's highly respected in the community. But you're not dealing with the most intelligent people of all time. And you give them a gun and a badge and the law and just say, hey, control the streets, right? So when you start putting them in situations where they feel attacked because they can't police the way that they're used to, self-preservation says to me, like, yo, they still want their pension. They still trying to get the retirement. They're going to do everything they can just to not get caught on video because that's the only thing that's going to convict them. So that's where I'm coming from in my thought. It isn't – I understand what y'all are saying too. Hey, what Hov said is right. These laws protect the police. Like, we've seen it. You know what I mean? But I think the only thing that convicts a police officer is video evidence. So why would you ever try to put yourself on video? That's just what I'm thinking.
But Beats Fun, the one thing I'm going to say is...
Go ahead, Hov.
You hear me? The one thing I'm going to jump in and say is... I don't think any cop goes out and thinks they're about to shoot somebody, but they get called on reckless calls all the time. So you can't pick and choose when you're going to turn your video your cam off because they are monitoring when their cameras are on. So you can't go into every dangerous call and every time you're in a dangerous call, your camera's off. People are going to be like, yo, like you're going to get yourself in trouble for something and you might not ever even do anything that was breaking the law. So it's hard for a cop to decide, I'm probably going to shoot a black dude today, so let me turn my camera off. Like, typically, if that's the case, they work in an area where most black people are anyway. So they can't go respond to every call and turn off their camera. They're going to get caught anyway. Like, why are your camera off on every call? You know what I mean? So it's hard for them to pick and choose because I don't believe that they go out like, yeah, I'm a shooter nigga today. You know what I mean? Like,
well, see,
I don't think that's ever most of the time the call. So if you work in an area where violent crimes are happening, you can't turn your camera off every time you get called on a violent call. So I don't think it's going to prohibit them from turning it off, because there's repercussions to turning it off, even if nothing actually happens to be in question. Like, but your camera's off every time you're on a call. You know what I mean?
I guess, yeah, I see your point. I guess I don't know, and this is just my ignorance of police officers and the things they do and what's reported. I don't believe police officers get that many calls, especially when it comes to a cause of, hey, shots fired. You know, like I feel like a police officer, 9 times out of 10, gets a shot fired call. He can turn on his body cam, and whoever hit the shots ain't there no more. I think it's rarely a time when you get the Ohio situation where, you know, you get a phone call, you roll up, and it's like 10 people out there, and a girl's trying to stab another girl. Like, I think that's one, and like, I think that might happen once every couple years for a police officer. But you're right, Hope. I could be dead wrong. I have no idea. I don't know what the stats are. I guess I could call a couple of my cop buddies and see how often they get, like, violent calls a shift. But, I mean, I know them, and I know it ain't that often, because a lot of times they used to hit me up. Like, yo, fuck you doing? I'm out. I'm chilling. Like, just come hang out for a second, because they ain't doing nothing. But again, I reserve the right to be wrong, because, I mean, you might be right, Ho. If they get a call once a night and their camera and their body camera ain't on, then yeah, someone's definitely going to be like, yo, like, you're showing a pattern. I guess my whole thing is, in my mind, I'm thinking like a typical police officer gets one violent call a year, and that one day they don't turn on the body cam, I don't think anybody's going to say anything. That's just what I'm thinking, but I don't know. Hey, we got a call from the
yeah, I get you.
Oh, go ahead.
But maybe in violent crimes, but if you look at the history, like, most times that a police officer kills somebody, it just doesn't seem to start off as a violent call. You know what I mean? Like, look down the line, and it's like you said, it's very rare that they get, hey, somebody about to get stabbed. Like, I mean, if you work in the south side of Chicago, you're probably going to get a lot of shots fired, somebody shot, man down type of calls. But I would say most precincts, on average, like, one particular cop isn't going to get a bunch of violent crimes. The unfortunate thing is that most of the time that these young black men are dying, it's not from a violent crime call. They start off as basic calls, traffic stops. You know what I mean? Like, what's his name? George Floyd was a counterfeit, like, dude using a counterfeit bill. Like, you're not approaching it as a violent crime.
You're right. You're right.
Right. Like, it usually doesn't start off violent. It just ends violent.
Right. Okay. I can confess to that. I agree. I agree with you. A lot of these times it's not like, yo, you're getting shots fired calls, so you might have to roll up and pop somebody. It's like, yo, somebody's selling cigarettes, and then next thing you know, they're choking somebody to death. So, yeah, I can't argue with that. You got me there. Can't argue with that. You got me there. We got a call from the 317 area code. Welcome to the off-ramp. You want to jump in and have this conversation with us?
I think so. I'm so – yes. Let me just say that. Yes. Hey everybody.
What's your name? I haven't saved your phone number. What's your name so I know what to call you? You don't have to give me your real name. I try to keep everything anonymous out here. Just give me a nickname.
Cherie.
That's your nickname?
listen. Boy,
hey.
Like that.
I'm going to cut that out. What's your nickname? Hey, MX, give me a nickname.
Can you please mute yourself while you're laughing hysterically? I don't have a nickname. I'm sorry.
Oh, you got to be more creative than this.
But I'm not, though.
What area code is 317?
I don't want to be referred to by that, though.
What area code is it?
That's Indianapolis, man.
That's
call it Gary, Indiana.
Hey, so we just gonna call you Peyton Manning. We're gonna call you Peyton Manning. We're gonna call you Peyton. Because it's Indianapolis.
Peyton,
is that cool? Well, you know what? We'll call you 500 for the Indianapolis 500. Is that cool?
You can call me 500. Yeah, that's cool.
500. Boom. There you go. 500.
500.
What you got on the conversation? How you doing tonight? Welcome to the offer. I'm glad to hear your voice.
Thanks. I didn't hear the entire question, but I did. I got the sentiment. So I agree with the gentleman in that most of these calls that the officers are receiving are not calls for violent crimes. I do think, depending what somebody said, like Southside Chicago, like I spent some time living in like Cleveland, Ohio, for example. So there are some geographic areas and some neighborhoods in particular where they are getting these calls to like violent crimes all of the time. But so that's all I heard. And something about body cameras and having them on or off. So I'll censor mine.
Yeah,
I'll be quiet for now.
No. Feel free to jump in and enjoy the conversation. Glad to have you. But my question to you, 500, is because of the Chauvin conviction, do you think cops will now start turning off their body cameras? Because it seems like the only way we can get a cop convicted of wrongdoing is with indisputable video evidence. So if that's the only thing that can get them convicted, why would they ever turn their body cameras on?
Because they have to. So I work in a field that's very scrutinized and where everything has to be standardized, and I think police officers are the same. Like, there has to be a sort of standard of operation. And so I don't think they will be permitted to turn them on and off.
So you're saying what Blair was saying, that these things are automatic. They don't even have a choice. That, I mean, again, I am ignorant to it. I'm just shooting from the hip.
So I think that they do have a choice. I think that they do have a choice, but I think if they exercise the choice to turn them off, then they will then have a problem.
Yeah, but is their problem going to be murder? Like, you know what I mean? I guess I'm waiting.
No, I'm sorry.
The...
I'm saying from an employment standpoint, like if then they will then have a problem if there's an identifiable pattern.
Right. And that's what Hov was saying. Yo, every time you go on a call, you turn your body camera off. But if the one time you're about to get into something, you accidentally turn it off, like you might get in trouble for turning your body camera off, but at least you ain't getting convicted of murder. Like, that might be worth it.
You're right, I guess. You're right. That's a good point.
But, I mean, it's
like
tough.
In the moment.
And I should have planned better and had my cop buddies on here. So I apologize for that. But, you know, it's just, I just don't know. Let me ask you this, and Blur, let me get back to you. Let me ask you this. Without video evidence, do you think the tide is turning on when police officers commit crimes, they will start getting convicted more regularly?
That's to me. That's a heavy question. I would like to think that the answer to that question is yes, but realistically speaking, I think the answer to that question is no. I think there was a conviction in this case because it was so clear cut to any human being watching that video what happened. That's what I think. I think if there is an opportunity whatsoever for any sort of doubt, then they will sway towards the favor of the officer.
Okay. Blur, what you got?
When you say, like, the tides are turning, I mean, in the court system, in the legal system, I'm going to say no.
Well,
I think cops are given the benefit of the doubt in most cases. I feel like the legal system and the judicial system feels like they've earned that or they deserve the benefit of the doubt. So if it comes down to just a cops word versus a I don't know, maybe someone they arrested word, I still think the cop gets the benefit of the doubt in that case. I mean, now we're saying just if there's no other evidence, if it's just a he said, or he said, she said, I think the cops get the benefit of the doubt. But if you start taking in the other evidence, not video evidence, then, you know, I think, I mean, I still have faith in the legal system, so I think the evidence is going to point in whatever direction it needs to point to. But if it's just the cop's word versus someone else's, yeah, I still think cops get the benefit of the doubt.
M extra?
Yeah, I agree with what Blur just said, and that's the reason why laws need to be on the books to prevent all that from happening. And so we're not even having this discussion, because I think you're right in the sense that if they have a choice, and they say, hey, listen, this is the only, you know, outstanding evidence that they could have against me with whatever I choose to do at this point in time, then, yeah, side with, you know, let me make up some excuse. My body cam was malfunctioning or something, right, before I just go ahead and convict myself for doing something. But I kind of agree with what Hope said, is that, you know, that's too much thought process when you responded to a call, especially when you don't know what the outcome is really going to be. So, it's just a tough thing to kind of to say what the scenario is going to be.
Oh.
Oh yeah, I ain't got nothing else to add. About to yell at my son for bullshitting out here.
Yeah, leave nephew alone, man.
Go easy on my nephew. New York. You got anything?
No, I'm good.
All right, and then we got a call from The 314, welcome to the offering. You don't have to give us your real name, but please introduce yourself with a nickname of your choice.
Well, my name's Pianchi, but this is a real good conversation that you have going on. I'm going to put a couple of scenarios out there. And it has to do with the teenager that was shot with the knife in her hand. Now, think about this. She was fighting one girl first and knocked her down on the ground before she went out to the one with the pink. Okay, now, let's go to the Chauvin case. You had him, and you had some other officers there, too, that they want to charge because they say they could have stopped him, basically. Am I correct?
Yeah, kind of. I see where you go.
All right. Now, on this incident with the young lady, the one that was knocked down on the ground, it was an adult that kicked her in the head. Then over there by the driveway, you had adults that was watching her do what she was going to do. So should they not also be charged using the same type of logic?
Yep, I agree. Okay. It's saying that all day.
That kicked the woman in the head, he should be charged with an assault charge. And you had a grown woman and a grown man. Yeah, one man was running from it all. Watching. In some cases of the time, they'd be spurring it on. Ooh, yeah. And so on and so on.
Okay. All right, I guess we can move to the where was this place? Ohio? This happened. We can go to the Ohio case if everybody's done with Chauvin. But thanks for – you said your name was Panensky.
My name is Pianchi. One other thing, too. I testified before the state legislature in Missouri on behalf of a state rep for body cameras. She was trying to push the bill through in the state of Missouri, and she wanted to call some – people to come testify pro or con. I testify for it because I said it would not only protect the suspect, but it also protects the officer because it removes the he say, she say. I mean, the cameras should be there to tell it all. But in reality, there's more good encounters between police and civilians. And here's another thing. When is the question going to be posed to the public that seemingly don't want to respect authority or comply. And that lack of authority respect starts in the household, works its way to the schools, then it also plays out in the street.
That's a loaded question because, I mean, who's considered the authority? The only I don't consider just because you got a police badge, you ain't my authority. My police, the authority is my daddy. He did.
Well, the authority, it comes from the state because if you commit, see, if that girl, that 15-year-old had a stab, that lady, young lady with the pink on and killed her, that wasn't a crime against her or the family. That was a crime against the state, in which the state representatives, the state legislature, gives the police the authority to do what they do.
Yeah, the funny thing is I'm not against a police officer in this case. I think it's a sad situation that a child that's 16-year-old, I think she was 16, passes away. And thanks, Bianca. Thanks for your call. I'm going to get to a couple other people so they can jump in. But just watch your background noise. So feel free to jump in when you want, but just watch your background noise because I'm going to leave you off mute. If we're going to start to get to this case, then I mean, I kind of agree with the cop. Like, you roll up and you see a girl start trying to stab another girl, you got to preserve life. Like, you're putting the cop in a bad situation when there's, like MX Your Money said, like which Bianca, what you said. Like, there's other people there that could have prevented that situation from happening, and they chose to stand by and watch. Personally, I'm a fan of stay out of the people's business. I don't get in nobody else's business. I don't care to know anybody else's business. I have my family, my friends. If they want to reach out to me and talk to me about situations, then we have those discussions, but I don't even discuss those situations with the other people that they're involved with just because I feel like those conversations should be between us. I'm a big fan of staying out of other people's business. But when you start seeing a fight on the street, you got to either say, yo, either this is going to be a fair one, y'all going to go to the fisticuffs, and whoever takes the L, we take the L, we stop, and we go about our lives. But once you choose to just sit back and watch, and if somebody brings a knife to a gunfight, they might not have known it was a gunfight, but it ended up being a gunfight. And you just get what you get. Feel bad that girl was 16. That's a very, very young age. I talk about it all the time how I don't even think I really became an adult until I was about 30. So, when I became like, oh, let me just think about life in general. 16 is half that. It's really, really young. And these kids think they're adults at 16. And they have no idea. But this is a sad situation, but I can't fault the police officer in this. It's just my opinion. I didn't see anything where I could say that police officer was wrong because when he rolled up and say, hey, what's going on here? One girl rolled onto the ground. Her dress came above. You saw her sushi parts and all that stuff. And then he saw another girl run up with a knife and try to shank a girl with a little miniature dog in her hand and all pink. And he probably was like, yo, this is why I didn't want to become a police officer. Like, at that moment, he realized that he should have stayed in the school. And I can't really fault him. So let me jump and get everybody else's opinion on this. Bianca, thanks for calling. And I see we got a call from Minneapolis, so I'm gonna get you in too. But let me get the folks' opinion on this case. Hope, what you got on this case about the girl in Ohio getting shot by the police officer? Or are you still training kids? Hope, you got us on mute.
Oh yeah, my bad. I was about to yell. I didn't hear what you said.
All right, what you think about the case in Ohio? Yo? Leave my nephew alone, yo.
You said the case about Iowa.
In Ohio, man, the girl who got shot.
Oh, I mean, I don't know what else you want an officer to do. Like you said, preserve life. Like, she did knock one down. She done ran up on another one. Like, the whole idea that she was getting jumped, that don't look like the case, you know? Like, but at the end of the day, like, he like, whoa, stop, don't. She ready stabbed. Like, she got to make a choice. Like, does he let the girl get stabbed or does he shoot? I can't blame him for that. Like you said, it's tragic. Like, it's sad. Like, nobody deserves to die. I don't think she deserves to die. I don't think that's the conversation. But the conversation is an officer at that point, like, what do you do? Like, either you allow the girl in the pink to possibly die, or you allow the girl with the knife to possibly die. Like, anytime somebody gets shot, they possibly die. Anytime somebody gets stabbed, they can possibly die. So at that point, I think the officer had a choice. Either he allows the girl in the pink to get stabbed, or he shoots the girl with the knife in her hand. And personally, I think he made the right choice. But that's me.
Okay. I mean, look, hey, we all got our opinions. Hey, we got a call from the 612, me and that Minneapolis. It's a rough time up there, man. Welcome to the off-ramp. What you got? You got us on mute. 612?
Yep. Sorry, can you hear me now?
Yeah. You are. What's going on? Welcome to the off-ramp.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it, man. Trying to, if I could offer like a different perspective and maybe give like a different view on this whole issue of policing. A lot of what we've seen now is, in my opinion, is just being done for political purposes, and it's being driven by the media. And the media is being very selective in what it reports, what it shows, and what it says about these events in order to garner a response that's then going to lead to further a political agenda. What I mean by that is this. The media in America is about 85% of all news journalists are registered Democrats. The media in America, the coverage has been shown, and Harvard and Columbia both did studies on this, it's 90% pro-liberal. So they have a vested interest in the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party depends on the black vote in a lot of cases. But the Democrats haven't really done anything tangible in the last 20, 30 years to actually show black people, to justify black people supporting them, like in any real way. So what they are left with is trying to gin up the emotions of black people to then use that to convince them to go out and vote for them. That's the angle they got left to try to get black people to come up. Because you get what I'm saying? If black people don't turn out, that's how Trump won in 2016. He won in large part because the black turnout went way down in 2016. So the Democrats understood that, and because they haven't done anything to actually justify black people voting for them in large numbers, this is what they're left with. So the media, because the media is pro-Democrat, the media then works in partnership with the Democrats to do this. So I'll show you what I mean. You take the Breonna Taylor case. ABC News, remember, this is in the middle of the election. ABC News comes out and says, they give a report. They're the first ones to report on it. They say Breonna Taylor was laying in her bed. The police came in with a warrant, went to the wrong house, and shot this young woman while she was asleep. And that's the narrative that just what people ran with. And most people still to this day believe that's what actually happened, that Breonna Taylor was laying in her bed, the cops came in and shot her while she was asleep. I mean, 90% of the people I know, that's what they think happened. The reality of what went down was the cops had a warrant for that, to that specific house, because the man she was with, they believe, was a drug dealer. And the boyfriend that she used to be with, who was locked up, they had the recordings of their conversations, and they figured out that she was actually working as a sort of a runner between them. And the house she was staying at was the stash house. Now, the police come in, announce it to the police. The boyfriend shoots at the cop first. The police then fire back. She ends up being an innocent bystander. Now, that story is completely different than the narrative that the media put out and got everybody all hyped up about. Now, you take the George Floyd case, which is a terrible case, and obviously that cop deserves to be charged with all the charges he's been given. But just a year before that, there was a white man by the name of Tony Tempa, who the police killed in the exact same way. Pinned him down, 14 minutes, he went unconscious, he died on the scene. And the cops had all the charges dropped against them. No cops were charged with anything. They were all let free. Exact same situation. And the guy was on his neck longer for 14 minutes. No reporters from the media whatsoever. Most people don't even know about this guy. But why was everyone know about George Floyd? Because the media saw a golden opportunity to get black people in America angry, and then would leverage that anger to get them to come out and vote in 2020. That's all it was about. If anyone can't see this for what it is, you're being lied to. Because the reality is, if you look in 2021, compare the number of white people and black people that have been shot and killed by cops. The number of white people, 502. The number of blacks, 109. The number of unarmed people shot, whether white or black, amongst white people, it's 5. Again, amongst black people, it's 3. That's the number we're talking about. That then, because there's really nothing else left for them to go to, they have to exaggerate something that's an exception to, again, like I said, get black people hyped up enough to go out and vote for Democrats. Because if they don't do that, black people got no reason to vote at all. Because neither side is giving them anything.
Can I jump in? George Floyd dying was a ploy for votes.
No, I'm saying the media coverage. Because there was a white man by the name of Tony Tempa who was killed the exact same way. The cops had the knee on his neck for 14 minutes, killed him, and all the charges against the police were dropped. It's the exact same. You can look at the video if you want to. This happened in 2016. But the media didn't even talk about it. Why? Because there was no benefit politically out of it.
Hey, man, everybody got a right to their opinion. I appreciate you, Minneapolis, for calling in. I appreciate your opinion, and thanks for joining us. So, MX, you sounded like you wanted to jump in. I just want to make sure I give everybody equal time to talk. There's some serious subjects tonight, man. But go ahead, MX. Go ahead, jump in.
I'll be very quick. And again, Minneapolis, man, first of all, if you're going to give stats, I would appreciate you citing your sources. One, it feels like you're an All Lives Matter person versus Black Lives Matter by the way you quoted your stats. But what you failed to do is realize that per capita, black people are less of the population than white people. So when you say more white people are being shot, you need to actually give the percentage based on the population, not just give pure numbers. That's the first thing when you give it out that. Second thing is the whole idea behind the media driving this for votes for black people is one, that's a Republican talking point. And I would challenge you to actually tell me what exactly has the Republican Party done for black people in terms of voting. Because I know right now when Trump was in office, there was a justice. They dismantled the Voting Rights Act. We see that there's now, after they lost the vote in 2020, and now we have a Democratic president, their reaction is not to get new policy, but they're passing more voter suppression across 43 states. So that's what Republican-led legislators are doing because they lost, right? So furthermore, there is a justice for John Lewis. There's an act, there's an H.R. 1 bill sitting, and it has been sitting for 3 years with an all-Republican House and Senate that left not even one hearing. So that's for voting rights against black people. Republicans failed to act. Right now, there's still a bill sitting right on the Senate desk where you have Republicans that said wholeheartedly they're not going to even touch, right, that same bill. So to me, when you come on a show and you're spewing this agenda behind amping up black people, we have 400 and plus years of where this system has been broken against us, one-sided one way or another. We can see that because I will also challenge you on looking at the sentencing guidelines when it becomes between white and black people. So you can't just come on here and say that, oh, it's to rile up black people to vote, when we understand them is not even built for us, one, which is why you still have laws on the books that still say lynching is legal, right? And you don't see no Republican legislators trying to get that off the books in the southern states. And you see what their reaction is when we try to act like this so-called liberal media, right, of yours that you claim that 90% of the – and I don't even know where you get that fact, so I don't even want to repeat it. But at the same time, while you're saying all this stuff, just think and ask yourself, what has the Republican Party done for black people if they want their votes? Because from what I see it and from my lens, as an independent, because I don't want you to think that I'm a Democrat because I'm not, as an independent, if your Republican Party wants a black vote, then how come they don't pass a black agenda that actually works for the black America
that they supposedly represent, as opposed to being, you know, a party that stands for nothing but obstruction. They have passed zero bills, and I want you to name one bill that they passed that has been like just detrimentally, that's going to help the black population when it comes to policing, sentencing guidelines, school to prison pipeline, and anything, food deserts. You even see where even COVID, where you saw, you know what I mean, the health disparities in terms of black people, in terms of the white counterparts have been affected, where they were giving out COVID shots to their rich friends, all that stuff. So if you're going to come out here and address that on this show and offer it, then you need to bring stronger facts than talking about one case that hasn't been reported by the media, because I can give you 10 more that hasn't
it's
been
no
reported
problem
by the media.
For me. I can easily address
right.
each
have
point
it.
Refutation you said easily.
Hey. It's an offer, but we're going to have a lot of
Hey, before y'all go back and forth, I just want to make sure I get everybody else involved. So I'll always put mute because I never wanted to be. I appreciate the dialogue back and forth between you, Minneapolis, and you, M. Extra Money. But I never wanted to be a conversation just between two people, even though y'all are having a good conversation. But we only got 48 minutes. Well, really about 40 minutes. So Minneapolis, I'll give you a chance to respond, but I just want to see if anybody else wants to jump into the conversation.
Yeah, I would like to respond to that. This is Pianki. I would like to put something in on that also.
Hey,
I'll be very brief.
Pianki, I got you. Hold on for a quick second. Let me make sure everybody else, because I want to make sure if Blur wants to get in here. Blur, you want to get in here?
Yeah, let me just, cause I'm going to say my two pieces. Damn, I don't even know where to go with that. And actually, I think I agree with a lot. I'll, all right, so let me start with this. With Minneapolis, I will say this and agree that these news channels, they're for entertainment. They have to make money. They have to have people watching. They have a viewership that they will pander to. I will agree with that. I don't know anything about how they vote, but they do, like, if it bleeds, it leads. So they're there to entertain and to keep people stuck on their channel so they can sell advertisements, because they're a business. Like, they have to stay in business. They have to report the news in a way that they feel is going to get them the most viewers and keep the viewer they have. So I understand that. I will think – now, I also will agree that, yes, people and news organizations will report things falsely to be first to report something. I don't know who – I don't remember exactly who you said – gave the false reporting on Breonna Taylor, but I'm not surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if more than one organization reported false information at first and then maybe cleared it up. I think as a society, as people, we need to do better at just not listening to one news source. I think everybody would benefit from getting news and just information from more than just one place. I mean, I try to do that myself and get multiple sources, listen to multiple different people. So that would all, I think that would benefit everybody. That said, I mean, yeah, like the Tony Tempa thing in Dallas, I actually heard about that. And this goes back to the discussion we were having earlier. The big difference in that, well, yeah, Tempa was a white guy and the cops were on him. Nobody recorded that. That was body cam footage that came out later, I think almost a year or 2 years after his death, if I'm not mistaken. If we have to rely on body cam footage for George Floyd, we may not be in this situation right now. So this goes to what Gunn was saying earlier about, hey, maybe if they just cut their cameras off. This recording was done by a teenager that got online and started everything with George Floyd. So I don't know if it's so much as a political narrative as a just, hey, this was out. This footage was out, as opposed to Antifa. The footage wasn't seen until, I believe, I could be wrong, but if I believe when I first heard it, like, the police didn't release the body cam footage until almost a year afterwards. By that time, yeah, people might be outraged, but you're going to lose a lot of steam and a lot of outrage over the passing, unlawfully or not, of someone a year later.
Okay. New York, you want to jump in?
Oh, no, the learning experience.
Woman in New York here, like, fuck y'all. 500, what up? You jumping in?
No.
Where'd she go? So,
I'm right here. Nah, I'm right here. What? I mean, I don't know how to follow that up, so no.
Okay. Okay, DJ T. Siren, you want to get involved in this? Not at all. All right, Pianke. I hope I'm saying your name right. I apologize.
Yeah, that's pretty close. No, I'm kind of two things. Somebody made mention about the Voting Rights Act. The Voting Rights Act, those were Republican-sponsored passed bill. All Civil Rights Acts from 1866 was a Republican. But the elimination, which was done by Justice Roberts of Section 4, mainly because the Voting Rights Act of 1965 put pre-exemptions on states and counties, even Alaska and Hawaii, before anything could be done as far as changing polls, hours of the polls, so on. So it had to get pre-clearance from the Justice Department. So Robert said some of these counties that was under the Voting Rights pre-clearance exemption, explanatory, they are now majority black, have black mayors, so they're not needed anymore. That was that. And the Voting Rights Act had nothing to do with voting. Your rights to vote came in the 15th and 19th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, which was passed back in the 1870s. It had to do about registration. One other thing, this is how the news is biased. Because if it's a black person that does something, they don't mention skin color. But if it's white against black, they mention skin color. And I give you one recent one. The man that killed the Capitol Guard, none of the news mentioned his skin color. He was black. But if it was the other way around, especially if it's a white police officer, they mentioned that. Just like they did when they, and I forget the incident right away, but that's what they do. They play on people's emotions, which is really wrong, because a life is a life, as you will see. And one other quick thing. The federal government can't tell local police jack about doing. Local police get their authority through the state constitution of those states, and states are basically sovereign. So they can come in and investigate for civil rights violations and make recommendations. But as far as anything else, that's all up to the state. And really, get this. The people that control the police are the people themselves. They are the employer. Police are employees. Just like in Ferguson. Ferguson was close to 70% black. And they had 53 police officers, of which 52 was white. The people in Ferguson could have changed that anytime they wanted to. But guess what? They wanted to have tough policing because it was to their interest as it came down to safety and the preservation of the values of their property and so on.
I just want to correct you. The John Lewis Voting Rights Act is in front of Congress right now. I'm not talking about the 1965 Voting Rights Act. I'm talking about the one that's reinstating what was stripped out. That's the one I was talking about.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand, but I tell you something else. I read SB 202. All right, I read SB 202 that was passed by Georgia State Legislature, the AP as passed, and I don't see anything in it that suppresses black vote. It's not just for black; it's for the people of Georgia. Period. And here's another point.
Okay, so then, what were sold to the polls? Where did sold to the polls come from then? Where did sold from the polls come from? Where did it come from?
I don't understand what you're saying.
I'm saying in Georgia, they had sold to the polls where they would go to church, they would round up their church members and take them to the polls. They stripped that out. That was a black thing. That wasn't a white thing. Sold to the polls. That's the reason why they stopped it.
Oh, okay. You know what else they stripped out?
Hold on. Yeah. And I would challenge you because you brought up the Capitol Police, right?
Yeah.
So how come when did you hear Fox News say that insurrection was a mob? But with every Black Lives Matter protest, Fox News said they were a gang of thugs. And I would challenge you, when have you seen a black person shoot up a whole church, kill everybody, and get a sandwich to get delivered to them? Tell me that. Tell me when have you seen a black person treated that way?
Let me tell you, because we're running out of time. As a Kroger store there on Natural Bridge and Sarah Newstead. Hang on.
I got to mute both of y'all. Y'all having a good conversation. I'm stalling because I want both of y'all to hear me. Y'all having a good conversation. It's a good back and forth. I want the people to be able to hear both of you and both of your opinions, because both of you are expressing
honest, well-thought-out opinion. So I don't want y'all talking over each other because it's not going to come across well in the video. And I've been drinking way too much to hear y'all go back and forth over each other because it's not going to solve anything. So, Mxtra, you asked him a couple questions. I'm going to let my man Pianca – I can't pronounce it. I'm sorry, man. Look, I thought I wrote it out phonetically on my on the radio show, but I don't think I did. Pianca, I'm going to let you respond, and then, Mxtra, I'm going to let you come back in after I go back to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
So, Pianca, you can go ahead.
Well, one thing that they play on black emotions – because all we heard is that blacks can't get water while they standing in line to vote. Well, that's not true. The law stipulate that you can only do any electioneering or selling of water within certain distance of the poll, and I think it's like 250 feet. And this is the thing that was going on, which is very peculiar. You had organized organization that was raffling off TVs and other things that would entice blacks to come vote. I seen the same thing at the St. Louis Public School District where in order to entice parents to get their children there on first day, they would raffle off large screen TVs. So that there is kind of embarrassing to me. You're going to hand out water to people in line up to the door, and you're going to have your campaign information on the bottles of water. Vote for me. And also other things. Nobody's saying that you can't get water, but you can't do that type of thing because it teeters on the verge of bribery, which is against the law. That's all it is. And you know, funny thing with Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is removing the All-Star game from Atlanta, on the outskirts of Atlanta, because they moved the stadium out of the city to the outskirts for a lot of reasons. And they're going to another state, Colorado, which has more stringent voter requirements than Georgia does. That there is peculiar, my goodness. Thank you.
All right, good. Hey, good response to your response. Let me get Blur back in here. Blur, you want any response to any of that?
No, I will just say this. It sounds like we're throwing out a lot of subjective terms. We say, like, Colorado has more stringent voting laws and restrictions than Georgia. That's really subjective. I mean, I don't want to go down the whole rabbit hole, but I just watched the Speaker of the House, no, the White House press secretary go on the whole rant about the differences between the two because a Fox News reporter brought that up in their press briefing, and she was like, well, they have this. So, yeah, it's really subjective. If you want to say they have more stringent or stricter voter restrictions, I mean, I guess that's a matter of perspective. But, yeah, I guess maybe Major League Baseball doesn't feel that way. I mean, their game, they can do whatever they want with it. So,
yeah, I mean, because it feels like Georgia is only trying to restrict black votes, and Colorado is just trying to get votes correct. I mean, it's weird how you read it. I've read both sides. It all seems kind of, it just seems political. Like, if you're born in America, you should have the right to vote. It should be just that simple, right? If you pay, I go far as if you pay taxes in America, you should have the right to vote. If you don't pay taxes in America, i.e. Amazon, i.e. Apple, you shouldn't have a right to vote because you don't pay taxes. I don't want to mute everybody, but I got to get everybody in the conversation. This is the offering. We all have a discussion. So, in my opinion, just my personal opinion as an accountant, I say the right to vote should go with who pays taxes. If you pay taxes, you get a right to vote. I mean, there's this whole thing where D.C. just got passed, and D.C. might become a state, and people are outraged because it's heavy black. It's heavy Democratic, so the Republicans are upset. But my whole problem is just like, no, if they pay taxes, they should have a chance to vote and have their influence, no matter if it was Democrat or Republican, because they pay taxes. If you pay taxes, you should get a right to vote on what happens in the community. That's just my opinion. It's just how I feel.
I can give a shit if you agree with me or not. That's why we all get a vote. If you wanted to vote for Trump, God bless you. We all get a vote. It's just how I feel. 500, you want to jump in here?
No.
You tapped out with us early.
Man.
New York viewers. Go ahead, 500. What you going to say? Why are you bullshitting on the conversation tonight?
I mean, because it's been an emotionally draining week, really, right? And I do think all of us are on edge and our tempers are flaring. So I'll keep mine out because mine flares.
But that's what the off-ramp is for. You get your emotions out. You get your conversation out. No one judges you. You don't have to get upset at anybody because none of y'all know who anybody are. Only I know who people are. So you get to voice those frustrations without any judgment. That's why I partnered with my boys and we created this environment. If you don't want to say anything, you're more than welcome to tap out tonight. But if you want to say fuck you to somebody, go ahead and say it. Don't nobody know you except for me.
No.
And then we can get it all out call today. So 500, you sure you good?
I'm good.
All right. New York, you got anything?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I know you tapping. I can't wait. Like, Hov, you want to jump back in here?
Nah, B, I'm good.
Hey, man, leave my nephew alone back there. Yo. I know you back there firing him up. Minneapolis, you want to – Minneapolis. How do you say that? Minneapolis.
Yeah.
I just messed
Minneapolis. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, I just met some folks from Minneapolis the other day. I was walking through the neighborhood. Good people. It sounds like Minneapolis is a cool city. But you wanna jump in here?
Yeah. What's the name of the guy that like was kind of disagreeing with what I had to say? I didn't catch his name.
M-Extra and Blur.
Okay. Is he on now? Can I talk to him or is it like?
Y'all both on. Go ahead, just say how
okay.
you feel, man. We got about
20 minutes. Let me say this, man, because I'm not trying to turn this into a debate and I'm attacking you and this and that. I just want to come to an understanding. So to the guy who's disagreeing with me, what exactly is it that you're disagreeing with what I said that you believe that I said was wrong? I'm just trying to understand.
Okay.
Go ahead,
What I was basically challenging you on, because you said that the news media is heavy liberal. I don't know where you get
okay.
that from. That's the first
okay,
point.
Okay, so before you move on, let's go one by one here before you move on. I don't want to respond to a bunch of stuff. Let me just make it one by one, okay? So my source on the news media, I said in that they came from a study done by Harvard University and by Columbia. The study was done in 2016 on bias in news coverage. And in that, they showed that the media, they took all mainstream media, they took all the television networks and all the major print media around the country. And they showed that 90% of their coverage was pro-Democrat, and that same 90% was anti-Republican in their coverage. And again, you could look at the study for yourself. So what's the next question?
Okay.
What's the next point that you're at?
Okay. All right, cool. The second point that you said was that with this liberal, so-called liberal media, which again, I would challenge whatever that study is because I'm sure I can find another study that says the opposite, but whatever the case may be, I'll let you even have
Before we move on, let's make it easy for you, right? Other than Fox News, can you name another major conservative news network in America?
Name one besides
MSNBC.
Hold on. Name one that's liberal, that's pro-liberal.
Okay, easy. I got MSNBC, CNN, New York Times,
okay.
Washington Post. Right there, your name four
great.
For you right
you
off
said
the top.
That. I'm glad you said that. Do you know who Joe Scarborough is?
Yeah, Joe Scarborough is the former
Republican
who hosts the show Morning Joe.
No, he's still
who,
a Republican.
If you remember,
he's
he came.
He,
no,
he's
not.
He's
a, he came on the show. He came on the Stephen Colbert show, and he announced, "I'm no longer a Republican."
No, he doesn't support
that.
The Republican Party. But he is still a Republican.
Yeah, he literally said, "I'm no longer Republican. I'm a registered independent." That's his words.
So
now, if you watch the Morning Joe show, let me ask you this, brother.
I do.
If you watch the Morning Joe show, is Joe Scarborough in his coverage, let's say this is the last election, was he pro-Trump or pro-Biden in his news coverage?
No, he absolutely was against Trump, and he never was pro-Biden. He held him accountable, too. He's not pro-Biden. He was just against Trump, just like Michael Steele, who's still a Republican. Who
because
came out
he worked on MSNBC.
What do you mean? What are you talking about? Okay.
If Joe Scarborough worked at Fox News, he would have been pro-Trump and pro-Republican because MSNBC signing his check.
No, he wouldn't have.
Of course it is. Come on,
man. You guys not going to agree on that.
MSNBC is a conservative network.
We talk about news media all the time. You're draining the show, bro. My point is this.
At the end of the day, I have a legitimate study done by and Harvard's not a conservative university. It's obviously a liberal campus.
And I gave you that.
What information can you cite in contrary that would say that my point is invalid? What source do you have other than just your opinion?
This is what I challenged you on. I said, name one Republican bill currently in the last 4 years when they had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, right? That, because you said that it hyped up black votes, right? Name one thing that they did.
Now remember. See, you did this earlier. So you tried to caricature me as some type of Republican.
No, I
didn't. Hold on, pay attention. If you had heard what I actually said, I said neither side has done anything for black people, and that the Democrats, because they're depending on the black vote.
I gave you two bills. I gave you the John Lewis Voting Rights Bill. I gave you the justice and the police.
Are you talking about the HR1 bill?
All right, come on. You guys just arguing. You're arguing back and forth on the same thing. Let's go to the next one. Let me get in there so I can leave.
Right. Like, listen, I just gave you can disagree with what the Democrats did once the House got it in the midterm.
All right, that's
you can
obvious.
Disagree with all that. You can disagree with all the House bills that they came that Mitch McConnell said that he wasn't going to take up. You can disagree with all that, but at the end of the day, what you can't do is come on the show. You can't come on the show and think that you can just spew whatever your opinion is and not have one challenging back. And what you also can't do when I challenge you,
I don't care about
you
disagreeing with my opinion.
I'll let you talk.
My point is, you said I didn't have facts, and I just showed you with each point I made.
All right, come on,
let's
be respectful, please.
No, everyone, I just want to
let nobody talk.
All right, I had to mute everybody.
Could I say what I got to say and I can leave?
Hey,
I'm getting.
Hey, hold on, Pianke. I'm gonna let you get in because you've been patient, you've been waiting, Pianke. I keep fucking up your name. My apologies. Y'all going at it tonight, and I appreciate it because it's a good conversation. It's tough to hear when all three of y'all arguing at the same time. So, look, my man, Pianke, you've been patient. You've been trying to get in. Pianke, you got the floor. Go ahead.
I'm going to say a couple things. You know, it's embarrassing on saying that blacks can't get ID because in Georgia, you got to produce some good ID in order to cash your lotto ticket in. I mean, you just don't walk in there and throw it on the table. You got to produce ID, good ID, government issue in order to cash your lotto ticket in. Now, as far as the Republican Party, I voted for Donald Trump because of his issues. His issues helped my business. My business was still erection. I put up buildings like the one that fell in 9/11 in New York. He imposed steel tariffs on Russia imports, which helped in order to set American businesses on their feet. I tell you something else he done too. He helped Georgia in its soft wood products like plywood because he imposed tariffs on those products that was coming in from Canada, of which Susan Rice is married to Aaron Cameron, whose father is a big lumber magnate in Canada. So we can see how this stuff plays out. How does it help black? He was for school choice. School choice allows parents to put their child where it's best fit for them in their long-term educational plans for their children. We know that blacks, when polled and surveyed, in the 70th percentile, blacks and Latinos say they want school choice, which they should have. So those are just two things. I don't want to go on any further. Oh, and also that southern border. Nobody can say that that ain't a mess. And Donald Trump was doing very well on that. I'm not a Republican. I'm conservative, and I work conservative issues.
You're right, Beach Bum. I can go all day rebuting all the false stuff that he just claimed that he did, but I'll save that for another day.
So you say I claim that I did, hey, like what?
I just want to get everybody else in here, Pianka, so I'll put you on mute real quick because I know you want to respond to what he just said. But I don't want y'all to go too back and forth because we got to get ready to get out of here. But that school choice was awful. And being out in the public school system, we can have that discussion another day. I guess Pianka then got out of here. He said what he had to say ahead of the world. But I just felt the funny thing he said, the funniest thing he said, that he was in the steel wood business and Trump helped with soft wood and steel erection. Was I the only one that caught this? I was like, oh, this must be spam.
Nah, I caught that joke too.
Blur, you guys think you want to jump in on this?
I will say, hey, as he said that he's from, I don't know if he said he's from Ferguson or he's just from St. Louis area. I came over here a long time ago, and I said that there's a lot of people in the Midwest, in St. Louis area, Missouri specifically, the St. Louis area, who felt like Trump's policies, maybe he himself may have been racist and a dick, but his policies were really beneficial. I said that earlier. Remember, I came on and I talked about some things that were really helping out here in St. Louis. It sounds like he's one of them. Like, it wasn't a small group of people who felt like Trump was really helping the Midwest. And the people who feel like they're not seen by the more populated coastal states. So, yeah, I understand what dude was saying. I mean, I might have missed the whole thing about the hard steel and the hard wood. But if he's in the steel industry and Trump's tariffs were helping him, I could see why he was trying to vote for him.
Steel erection and softwood. That's what he was advocating. And again, look, and that's why I didn't. I mean, actually, you know, you my man, 50 grand. I love you, death. That's why I put you on mute and I let him have his moment because, look, here on the offer, we embrace different opinions. We're going to have it out. Don't nobody know each other. We're going to have an honest conversation. We're going to have a discussion. And then we're going to chalk it up and go about and have a good weekend. You know what I mean? So I appreciate the good conversation.
Let me just say something real quick.
Who's that? Which one is that? Is that Minneapolis?
Minneapolis.
Let me get back.
Yeah.
I'm going to get back to you in a second. Let me just make sure nobody else wants to jump in because I don't want to take too much time from everybody.
All right.
500, do you want to jump in anything?
No.
500, you got us. You just tired. New York. You want to
not only that, but also, let me just be honest. Here y'all are.
Go ahead, 500. Let me
out.
Go ahead, 500.
Because
go
here's ahead. Why.
It's just stressful for me. I just want. Can we just all get along? Like, and that's really how I feel. Because I just feel like as a people, there's so much against us. Like, and so it just disheartens me to hear you guys arguing. So that's it. That's all I got.
Well, we don't know if everybody on the phone is with us. I mean, it's all random. But don't get disheartened. You know, it's a fight. You know what I mean? 500. Get a smile. Smile on your face. We up. We out, baby. We rich. We can order out. We can order Chick-fil-A every single day but Sunday, and that's only because they close. I tell my wife all the time, I feel like I'm rich because we never have to cook. We can always just order out. We up, baby. Don't get this hard to 500. I don't like to hear that. We doing good. New York, you got anything?
Nah, I'm good. It's active, bitch.
You saving all his turn for the end. I know. Hov, you want to jump in before I get back to Minneapolis? In Minneapolis, I give you the floor so you can say what you want. Hov, you got anything you want to
jump in?
Nah,
I'm good, B. I'm good.
All right, Minneapolis, floor is yours. What you want to rebuttal MX with?
Yeah, I'm going to just make something clear, man. This MX, what I noticed is you came in and set a standard of saying someone has to come in with heavy facts and sources and whatnot. Every time you brought up a point, you've yet to cite a source or actually validate what you're saying. It's just your opinion, which is you're entitled to. But when you pose a question to me and I have a source to back up what I'm saying that's valid, I notice how you just try to divert and switch it up again. So at the end of the day, let's just be what it is, man. You call yourself an independent. You're obviously a liberal. I'm actually an independent. I'm not here advocating Republican or Democrat. I can tell talking to you, you clearly are advocating for liberals.
Don't put me in a box. You don't know me, man.
But don't pretend. Come on, man. Yeah, if you're advocating for H.R. 1 and trying to act like the H.R. 1 bill has anything to do with black people, you're deceived. That bill has to do with Democrats getting power for themselves, and they're using black people as a pawn and a front to achieve that. Like they all, like all these politicians do. But you're playing this game of like either side is good or bad, or they got genuine. Both sides are corrupt. That's a fact. If you still in this mindset of one side is good, the other side is bad, that's ridiculous. They're both full of shit. They're both in it for the money. They both are bought out by special interests and lobbyists. Neither one of them have any of the people's interests in mind. By people, I'm talking about all Americans. They don't care about us. They just use us for whatever is convenient for them to get power. That's it. They only care about black people as long as we go out and vote. When elections come around, they'll be pandering and doing all this and that to try to make it look like they care about us. The minute the election's done, that's it. They're gone. That's a fact, man. I've seen it all my life. And this is coming from somebody who used to volunteer and support the Democratic Party, and I was volunteering Obama's campaign and all that, thinking these people were looking out for us. It's all a lie. They don't give a fuck. They don't care about you, me, or any of us. They're in it for the money and power. That's it. And that's true for Republicans and Democrats.
Who's they? This is that conspiracy theory.
The people in power. I'm talking about the people in D.C., whether they be senators, presidents, congresspeople, all of them.
But, okay. But see, it's always tough to have this conversation because unless you know these people personally, you don't know if they're – like what you're saying is it could be true, but it also could be just your opinion because you don't know all of them personally. Like the people in power in D.C., like you don't know North Dakota senator. You don't know if she's in there for – or her or her, her or him, if she's – if. She or him is in there for the money, the power, or for the people. Like, my problem with conspiracy theorists and when people have these conversations is, unless conspiracy. You know the people in power, you don't know if they're really there for the money, for the power, or for the people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people have
who controls
suggested I run. Hold on for a second. People have suggested that I run for different public offices because they know I don't care about money. Again, I can order Chick-fil-A every single day. I'm up. But somebody like Minneapolis like you who might not know me might just say, oh, he's probably just a liberal. He's just in it for the money. Like, it's tough to say who's in it for the money, who's in it for the power, who's in it for the people, because we don't really know these people. The only thing you can control, in my opinion, is your local government. And, you know, everything
else. Do you know any honest
politicians?
Crap
you.
You know any honest politicians?
Did I get it?
Do you know any honest politicians?
Any who?
Do you know
any honest politicians?
Yeah. I got a couple guys who are in the Virginia government who I know who are just dope human beings. And I know because I smoke weed with them. The government doesn't know.
Let me ask you this, man. I just want to make it clear because you try to call me a conspiracy theorist and this and that. And
I'm not accusing you. If you're not aware
of the fact that, okay, we all got taught in school there's three branches of government, right? But the reality is there's four branches. And that fourth branch is the most powerful branch in that's special
is
interest
that
lobbyists. They run D.C. And if you're not aware of how powerful the special interests and lobbyists are and how much money there's involved and how much influence they have over the politicians of America, I'm sorry to say you're deceiving yourself, man. You're naive, man. And you get caught up in the personality of the individual. I could care less. You look at their policies, and you see that their policies are directly tied to the special interests and lobbies that are paying them. Because these politicians need money to get reelected, right? And when they need the money to get reelected, who do you think they go to? All of them. Any major politician on a federal level in this country, in order to get into power, to get money from some form of special interest. There's no way around that. Otherwise, you can't even play the game.
How do you know that, though?
Well, because I've been following politics for the last 15 years.
Hold on. I don't want everybody to talk over everybody. And Max, I know you want to jump in. I just want to get Minneapolis' last opinion on that. And Max, I'll come right back to you. Minneapolis, my question to you is, how do you know who got money from who?
Okay. So the FEC, which is the Federal Elections Commission, registered all the money that they're donated to. So you can actually look up whatever politician you want to. When they run, you can look up and see the money they get. A lot of them, what they do is they get the money through these super PACs where they end up using the PAC to hide who's the actual money coming from. But you can actually look into that and find out what PAC is connected to. All the federal ones.
Are we talking about presidents, vice presidents, senators, representatives?
I'm talking about presidents, senators, congresspeople. Especially on the federal level and in certain state cases. Now, on the state level or on a city or local level, sometimes it may not be the case because the level influence is not that high.
You can't find it on senators and representatives. You can find it presidents, vice presidents. Senators is going to be tough.
But you can know, for example, which PAC supports certain senators. For example, in any major election, we have the major general elections when the Senate for grabs. You can know where they're getting money from. In certain cases, about following the PAC. So what they do is they hide behind the PAC money. That's the key, because they don't want you to see what's done. Now, secondly, what they also do is oftentimes they wait till they get out of office, and they do what they do, the speaking tour circuit, where they give these little speeches to different, groups and banks and or lobbyists or even foreign dignitaries, and they get these massive speaking fees. This happens all the time. Or they get out and they get some kind of job in the private sector with one of the companies that they did a lot of, passed a lot of bills or support in some way. So they'll do it either way. And they get it, all of them get into it. Most of these people, you look at them, they come in broke. They leave multimillionaires without having a business. Think about this. Maxine Waters, I'll give you an example. I'll use Maxine Waters, and we can use Mitch McConnell so I can show you both sides. Maxine Waters, congresswoman from California, came into office, didn't have any money. Now she's a multimillionaire. Same thing is true for Mitch McConnell. His wife that he's married to, she worked for certain companies in China. He was able to secure government contracts through her that got her paid. Joe Biden did the exact same thing with his brothers. He got government contracts in Iraq that allowed his brothers to control building projects there that they got paid through. His son was basically the bag man for him in both China and Ukraine. Trump did the exact same thing with his family. All these people do it. They just do it in different ways. Some of them, they use family members. Some of them, they wait till they get out of office and they get all this, all this money on the side. That's how it works, man. People who think these people are legit, I don't know how you believe politicians are real or honest or even care about you. I mean, come on, man.
And Minneapolis, look, we got to end tonight. I mean, I appreciate you being a good conspiracy theorist. I only say it because I know some of them, and a lot of them are cool people. But, hey, everybody has a right to their opinion. Everybody has a right. And Minneapolis, in all honesty, even though we can disagree on this, I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate your opinion. I appreciate your theories. But we got to end tonight. We got to get out of here. Minneapolis, make sure you call in next week. It seems like you enjoy the conspiracy theory conversations and the policy conversations, but we chop it up.
I don't understand why you're saying conspiracy theory when I'm stating what's a known fact. I don't get it. You're telling me what I'm saying is it somehow kind of real?
Gotcha.
Come on, man.
Hey,
we'll
talk about it next week, Minneapolis, because I honestly enjoyed the conversation. I'm just saying,
you're the first person I ever met that considered the idea of special interest and lobbyists buying off and controlling politicians. You're the first person I ever met that called it a conspiracy theory. Almost everyone else knows that that's just a fact. That's how he works.
Well, we haven't met, because we're on the phone. But one day if we have a conversation over coffee, we can have that discussion. But we got to get out of here. So I'm going to mute everybody. I'm going to give y'all a last word because I really enjoyed the conversation tonight. It's always going to be Minneapolis dropped off. I was going to give him the last second. That conversation. Yo, Hope, you made me do this. Hope, all y'all are off mute. I'm going to give this a quick second. But that's Hope's fault. On our side text, Hope was like, yeah, just keep calling.
Gave him a whole lot of time anyway.
Hope was like, just keep calling him a conspiracy theorist and pissing him off. I just wanted to do it. Oh, man, good conversation tonight. 500, thanks for calling in. I worry about you. You sounded like you were down in the dumps.
Oh, I'm good.
I need you to be happy.
That was just stressing me. No, I'm good. I'm good. It just seemed like his whole point was just to come and, like, ruffle feathers. And I was
just saying that. That's what happens when you take random calls from random people. Like, who knows what that is. It's the reason why they got off early and didn't wait for the night. Hey, we ain't talking about Reddit Meth, 420. Rest in peace, Shark
G. Oh, my God, that was a whole vibe.
Yeah, we got to talk about that next week. But it was a good conversation tonight. We let some random people on the phone call tonight because I already knew what it was. But it was a good conversation. So, 500, you good?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, man. Make sure you smile tonight. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for having a good conversation with us. DJ C-Sign, you got anything you want to say to the people about the random racist people that called us tonight? We lit, baby. Look, when the Republicans start hating us and start calling this show, we lit, baby. We made it, baby.
Good night.
All right, MX, you got anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
Man, I don't, man. Just listen. All I can say is do your own research, do your own facts. There's always two sides to a story. There's always another competing study, and there's always a competing interest. And when you call an off-ramp, just be prepared to challenge. You're not going to come in here with your own opinions and not be challenged. We are knowledgeable. We are, you know, a diverse group of individuals that have a whole unique set of skill sets. So just be ready to get your popcorns ready. Don't just come in here thinking you can say whatever you want to say without getting challenged by it.
Hey, shout out to my brother, MX Money. He's one of the people who, like, I look at it as, like, blood family. He's always ready for a tussle, whether it be verbally or physically, and I always got his back. And that man lit them people up tonight, and Hope put the battery in my back to just let last man just get upset. And it was hilarious. But, hey, I still appreciate everybody calling in. Hope, you got anything to say before we roll?
Nah, man, that was fun, yo. Just being in the background, yo. So much going on, yo. I was like, good Joe, just let him have it, yo. None of the rest of us need to even jump in it. Let him have it, yo.
Oh,
I was crying the whole time. I'm sorry. It was, but it was hilarious.
The text I got from Hope was, keep calling him a conspiracy. And of course I'm going to do it.
Yo, it ruffled his feathers immediately when you said it. Yo, he was in the background like, ah. Oh.
Felt like
Red Man, get him.
Hey, bro, I'm fucking crying. He had so many deep breaths. Oh, man, thanks for calling it, Hove. Oh, man, Brother Blur, anything you want to say to the people before we roll?
I was going to say that you're an asshole for calling that man his thoughts conspiracy theories. That's fucked up. I'm glad you pointed out that Hove put the battery in your back. I think both of y'all are assholes for doing that to that man. You put the bad signal out there. You put the bad signal out there on Twitter or Instagram, wherever you put it, that, hey, we're about to talk about Chauvin and some other shit. So you know you should have expected that. I mean, look, I'm happy as hell. Look at the off-ramp growing. I'm with it. And I love it. See, I've always thought that politics are not always black and white and that you're going to have black and white people on either side And it really do come down to just like, do you think your plan is better than the other person's plan? Or at least that's what I think it should come down to. And that's what it seemed like we was getting to today. I mean, love the energy out of M Extra, man. Damn, we got to see it. Yo, I'm going to find out who P is, whatever dude name is. I'm going to find some more Republicans. I'm going to find some Tea Party people. I'm having them call in every week. I need this type of energy every Thursday.
Of course you would, Blair. Hey, that's it for me. Shout out to all my family up and down. I want to give a special shout out to Blur, the fat dude, Hov, M Extra Money, G, my brother Mark out in Dallas. We had a fundraiser for my son, and they cleaned it up within like 3 days, man. It's, before we get out of here, I just want to say like how much I appreciate the way my brothers take care of my son, man. It's always a blessing. And I know we do it for all of our kids, but it's a blessing when you know, like your kid can call up one of your homies from back home, from school, and they just there for him. Like, no questions asked, man. So appreciate y'all, all y'all good dudes for taking care of my son. New York, the floor is yours, my G.
Look, for the first time, like, I'm speechless. Nah, I'm speechless. Like, I don't know what to say, bro. I don't know what to say.
It's a lot to happen tonight, bro.
It's very active. The guy from the Midwest state, you can't even call him the state no more. Ain't conspiracy theories. That's his new nickname, yo. That boy got so mad, he started pressing numbers in the phone, bro. I was crying. But yeah, other than that, it's teachable moments. If you don't know anything, quiet, learn everything, and do your research. I like the conversation. Let's keep it up. You are active tonight.
Well, man, it's a teachable moment. Oh man, what a good night. Good conversation with everybody, man. Shout out to my man, New York. We gonna call it a night till next week, man. Next week we gotta talk about Red and Meth. What a show! What a good party on Instagram.
Oh yeah, my boy. Let me get back in this. I definitely got RIP to Shock G too.
Yeah, RIP to Shock G. I'm surprised you know who Shock G is.
Right.
I mean, New York's really young.
Yeah, I don't know if you know.
We got to talk about, so be prepared next week to talk about when you learned that Humpty Dumpty and Shock G was the same person. I said Humpty Dumpty.
You should take us out with Shock G.
I got to load it up. I'm still on Blog Talk. I'm waiting for Blur to get me off of Blog Talk so we can get on our own platform and I can play my own music. But I don't know if I can load up a song that quick just because.
Oh, you can't play it in the background? Or they'll shut it down?
Maybe.
No.
Can y'all hear that?
No.
Nah, yo, put DJ Steve Iron on the job. The name is DJ.
Right.
Yo, put her on the ones and twos right now.
Put her on the ones and
twos. I don't think y'all know how much.
I don't think y'all know how my setup is. My setup for my bank account ain't equipped.
I've seen it.
Hey, can y'all hear that?
Yeah, now we got it.
Yeah.
We out, baby. What a show tonight. Had a good night show. Recipe Shock G. This movie was really weird. Like, this movie had a lot of weird stuff going on, but it's a great Tupac verse. Shock G, don't know why you died, but rest in peace to your family. Meanwhile, we keep the beat kicking. Sweat dripping, grilling in the middle of your chicken. Don't forget the clip.